Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
1 Thessalonians 4, we'll do a little reading here. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. You know, if we stopped right there and was just going to expound on that one particular scripture, you see, there is a way that we ought to walk in the Lord. You know, sometimes we take the grace of God, and as the Bible says, we turn it to lasciviousness. Oh, God's love. God is kind. God is mercy. God is long-suffering. God is patient. God is gentle. So oftentimes, this is the way we look at God. And that's a wonderful way to look at Him that way. But we also need to know God in His wrath, in His anger, in His vengeance. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we need to know Him in His judgment. And I again say so oftentimes that the common teaching in our churches today is, you know, that we cannot judge, you know, and that is false doctrine. Again, the Bible says, ye that are spiritual judge all things. Amen. And we need to be people that walk in the mind of love, in the mind of gentleness and kindness, but we also need to be people that are spiritual and judge all things. The Bible said, the least of you in the kingdom of God, and we're in His kingdom. The Bible said, the kingdom is at hand, and we are now dwelling within the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us, and we have to judge all things. But it says the least of you in the church is what it says could judge all matters, that we're not even to take these things. So again, we need, brothers and sisters, to learn how to walk in the things of God and in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Let's read on here a little bit more. It says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 7 again and 8. It says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth what? Holiness. Despiseth not man, but God, who also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Lots said there within the scriptures. I thank God for a mind of revelation, the mind of differentiation, the mind that could differentiate the mind, the power, the word of God. Amen. You know, so oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we spend a lot of time in differentiating things. We find out in the beginning part of this fourth chapter, speaking about sanctification. You know, years ago in the Pentecostal works, you know, there was the Church of God and the Assemblies of God, and that's the only scriptures that they were disagreement of. And it was on the sanctification. One of them taught that sanctification was a work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and that they were sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ Christ's works, and that was right and correct. The other one, where their disagreement, they believed that sanctification was a daily work, and it was something that we did on a daily basis, pressing our way into God. And that is right and correct also. You see, they're both right, but they could not differentiate between dimensional projections between body, soul, and spirit, or we say natural, physical, and spiritual, or Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And one relative in the Spirit, we would find that many times we use the word justification there instead of sanctification, because we were justified by the works of Christ at Calvary. We were translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. So when we think of the translation and the transformation and the transfiguration, we also know that the translation is the work of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. Before this world ever was, we leaped for joy with the sons of God, amen, predestinated in Christ. Now, when we start thinking and speaking like this, the thing is this is where people go wrong. They say, well, Jesus had a beginning. The Bible teaches He had no beginning nor no end. But many people think Jesus had a beginning 2,000 years ago. That's where they're wrong. The Bible said that all things were created by Him. All things visible, all things invisible, all dominions, all powers, all thrones were created by Him. He was before the world ever was. The Bible said that Jesus was crucified before the world ever was. Amen. And He put our name down in the book of life. Now what happens is because of carnal mind and human reasoning, and because we think of what we see instead of looking beyond what we see, as we ministered the other day, we got to look into the spirit or into the invisible realm, and knowing that He had no mother nor no father. Now the Catholic Church teaches that Mary was the mother of Jesus. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. Amen. We know that the Lord used Mary, a woman of faith, to bring forth the Son of Man. We say the Son of Man, but see, He wasn't brought from the loins of man. You know, nowadays they're doing a lot of stuff with embryos and different things, and they take women and they'll use a woman as a carrier. And they'll take an embryo from another woman even, and they'll take a blood seed from a man, and they'll fertilize this thing and they'll plant it in a woman, and a woman will bring forth a child. It's nothing of her, she's just a carrier. They started doing this with animals. They would have a high-valued heifer or something that was worth a lot of money, and they didn't want to break this heifer down, because carrying children would break that body down. So they would take and just flush these embryos out of her, and then they would take it and put it in another heifer that wasn't of what they might say good stock. And they would take these things and put them in, and this other heifer would carry these little calves, and the calves would be worth a lot of money. And the thing is, as I say that as an example, we're thinking that Mary, I know the Bible said that she will be honored through all generations, amen, and we honor her with a great reverence and respect. We don't pray to her. We don't speak to her. She has no authority to go before God in your behalf. Amen. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is that one, and He's a jealous God. We can't pray to no other. There's no other way to go. But now when we start speaking, brothers and sisters, like this, we're starting to understand the mind of God, the things of God, and the Word of God. So when we think of sanctification again for a moment, and we think we find one being translated into the Spirit, one being sanctified in the soul. One has a work to the soul, one has work to the Spirit. And then when we think to the body, and we look for the work in the body in this time, in this day, in this hour, the body being relative to the things of natural, the things of the water world. And we, when we walk by faith in Christ, we reckon the body to be dead. The Bible says very clearly, it's not the sin of the body, it's the sin of the soul. The Bible teaches us in New Testament, it's the saving of the soul. The Lord Jesus Christ came and took care of that sin, brothers and sisters, to the body and to the natural. He hung that body, that image of the beast, or the image of the serpent, on the cross of Calvary, and had it smitten and done away with, and it was cast out into hell. And He said He suffered it not to see corruption and brought it forth. But it isn't the same body that was sown like that. It's not the same body. When it came forth in the resurrection, brothers and sisters, it was a different body. Now these are some foundational things as we get to the later part of this fourth chapter, we can understand, amen, what we're speaking about here. Because many times people are looking for a resurrection when it's already happened. They're looking for a catching away when it's already taken place. And the thing is when we read the scriptures, we talk about God, and He was, He is, and He is to come. So we could talk about a God that was, we could talk about a God that is going to come, and we could talk about a God that is and is now. I know Him in the is, because that's where I dwell and that's where I live, and I know Him there. Amen? And I could read about Him as an historic God, and the great things that He's done is examples for us as Christians, the sons of God. Because the Bible said even the things that He done are the things that we should be doing, because we have the same Spirit dwelling within us, and we should be about the Father's business. And I could talk about one to come, amen. Hallelujah. And the one that we're talking about is to come. He's coming back to the natural Jew. As just as he ascended there from the Mount of Olivet. And they said, why you gaze here into the sky? For in like manner that you see him ascend, he'll come back in like manner. You see, that's not for the church there, brothers and sisters. When the preachers of this day and hour are standing and saying, man, we're just longing for the returning of the Lord. Amen. And they're looking and they're talking about this great rapture to take place. See, that's not for us, brothers and sisters. This returning of the Lord is the great and terrible day of the Lord. He's not coming to be spit in his face no more. Not coming to have his beard plucked. Not coming in that kind of way. He's coming, brothers and sisters, with an iron fist to set up rule. Now, I know we as the sons of God, as we read here, we shall appear with him. Amen. We'll have that glorified body that has been through that metamorphosis and that change or that transfiguration. It won't be this same body. We're not going to be ruling in Israel with him with this body. It won't be like this. This is the body of corruption. This is the image of sin, brothers and sisters. It's not the image of God. Amen. What you see with your eyes is not the image of God. But that body that was not made with hands, the Bible teaches us about. When this thing goes through the glorification, the change, the transfiguration, then that'll be the body that we will be worshiping and dwelling in heavenly places through all of eternity with the Lord. Amen. But our spirit has always been there. So again, as we talk about this God that was and is to come, then we start looking at the things of God and we got to understand it in the same way. We say, well, I believe that this rapture, which there's no word in the Bible for rapture. The Bible talks about being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The Bible talks about the transfiguration to the body or winning the redemption of the body. So I say these things for we can keep our doctrine and things correct and in order. Now the thing is, but when we think of this, we need to look at this into a present and into a as a past and into the future. Amen. And understand this resurrection. Now the thing is, if we say, what is the past resurrection? And I can say that before this world ever was, I was caught away and hid in with Christ. I could go over and read to you in the book of Revelations. It talks about that there was a woman they saw there in heaven. And she was in travail to bring forth a child. Amen. And as this woman travailed to bring forth a child, there was a red dragon laying there to devour the child just as soon as it was born. Now I could look at that in a past perspective of talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a place prepared in this dispensation of grace. But I could speak about him being over there. And I could talk about him being birthed and this Herod was there to devour and was killing and putting to death all these firstborn children. There was a place prepared for the Lord Jesus went over into Egypt, a place in a wilderness. And he went over there and he was protected from Herod until they got report that he had died. And then he came back in and he set up and lived there in Nazareth. Now we could speak at that and looking at this past perspective and looking at it back then. Or we could speak about brothers and sisters. We could talk about the Lord Jesus being caught up to the throne of God. And we know that he ascends back to this earth. Speaking to, again to the natural perspective of it, back to the Jew. And we know that he'll come to this, back into this earth. And we can think of that resurrection, him being hid away in Christ. And that's us. See, we need to look at it and knowing who we are in Christ and the kingdom of God. I know that when I was born, as there was a red dragon, that had to do with this blood life, fleshly life. And I know that in fleshly life, that is there to devour the child. Your human reasoning. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. Now the thing is in your carnal mind, and that's to do with the red dragon. And it's always reasoning with God. It's always in a travail and a warfare against God. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And there's always this carnal mind in there that's enmity with God. It's always there saying, just like if I turned you back over to Genesis and read there in the book of Genesis. And talking about Eve and this spirit speaking unto her. This devil speaking unto her. Saying, it's okay. It's all right. God, you know, he wants you to partake of this tree. It'll make you as God. He wasn't lying. As soon as you eat of this, your eyes will become open. He wasn't lying to her. That was true. But the thing is what he lied about was said that she surely wouldn't die. You know, your carnal mind, it'll always be there. And it'll always be proclaiming even God. Oh, yes, God wants to bless you. This is the carnal mind speaking to you. Now think about it. This is where the carnal mind speaks to you. He says, man, God is love. God is mercy. God is kind. For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Oh, God's a God of mercy and he's a God of love. You say, but Brother Rob, that sounds like the word of God. It is the word of God. But you see, the word of God spoken out of perspective. And many times Satan will use the word. Jesus said, but it's also written. And this is why we got to go like the Bible says, take it line upon line and precept upon precept. This is where preachers miss God. They think, well, you know, I heard this voice say, man, go preach over here and go do this over there. Man, it surely must be God. No, many times it's the devil and he wants to get you where you don't need to be. Let me tell you something. When I found opposition as a minister, it wasn't from the whores and or the harlots and the drunkards and the sodomites and all of them out in the world. My opposition came from the ministry that is supposed to be the ministry of God. It's supposed to be the children of God, the people of God. This is where my opposition always came from. When I lived in California and the Lord had dealt with me about going to Georgia, all the opposition didn't come from the people of the world. It all came from the ministry. You see, they would tell me things of such. A minister told me, he said, you need to go down to town in that place and ask around town what they think about this church. I'm thinking, wow. The Bible said if they got anything good to say about you, that the love of God or God's not there. It said they're going to hate you with no reason to hate you. Why would I go to the world to question about a church? I was led by the Spirit of God. And the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, this is what I was to do. But then yet the ministers come there and say, you're missing God. One time the Lord called me out of California to go to Missouri. And the pastor of this church that I was in come to me and said, God doesn't do that. He said, you're a businessman. You've got a business here. You have family. You have children here. You know, you can't just uproot your family and do this. He said, that's not God. I thought, wow. I can't believe this. I look into the scriptures. God uprooted many people many times and many occasions and moved them into foreign lands and moved them away. A prophet's without honor even in his own land, and sometimes he's got to be picked up and moved away. Amen. But see, the ministry was telling me, no, God doesn't work this way. And I'm thinking like, wow, what is that? It's Satan. You say, oh, you can't speak like that. Well, the thing is brothers and sisters, sometimes our ministers lean to carnality in the carnal mind. They think things out and they reason things out. Many times the ministry does things, they make moves or relocations and things because it looks good, because it's prosperous, because of work, because of the Lord. That's not the way we move in God, brothers and sisters. We move by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And then God will help us. Amen. And He'll move. I've had many moves that the Lord has had me to move. He didn't make me. I was obedient unto it. It wasn't always a prosperous thing. Many times I'd left business and good business and good financial strength to go where the Lord told me to go. Took me to the backside of the desert, we may say, and where I had to get a hold of faith. Amen. And get a hold of faith in God and learn that God was making a way. Amen. So we got to find the mind of the Lord. We're speaking about the resurrection here this morning for a moment. We're speaking about winning the redemption of the body. We're speaking about being caught away in Christ. Amen. And the reason I'm speaking about these things like this is because, brothers and sisters, we got to be caught away in the mind of the Lord and think on these things. Things that are godly. Things that are righteous. Things that are holy. Things that are virtuous. Amen. And when we're thinking on these things, we're finding ourselves in the presence of the Lord, walking in His presence and being led by the Spirit. Do you realize that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God? Amen. So what we have to do is learn to differentiate God and God's Word and God's mind. We got to understand Him as I was and He is and He is to come. So many times when we start indoctrinating and teaching things, people are single-minded, and we're supposed to be single-minded, and that's in the mind of Christ or in the Spirit. But sometimes they're so singly-minded in the perspective, they cannot differentiate God and understand God. They don't understand Him that way. So when we talk about the resurrection, and I remember a lady was here in the church service one time, and she came to me, she said, Brother Rob, I want to ask you a question. And I said, yes, ma'am. She says, do you believe that the rapture's already taken place? And I looked at her and I said, well, don't you? And that was it with her. I mean, that just, she took a couple back steps and like couldn't catch her breath, like, my, this guy's out of his mind. And she just couldn't get her bearings. You know, and I said, well, don't you believe that? Now, the thing is, do you believe? You can ask me, say, Brother Rob, do you believe the rapture's already taken place? And I could turn in a question to you. I said, well, what is a rapture? And you say, well, it's catching away to the throne of God. Well, surely I believe that's already taken place because I'm a son of God. I've been birthed into the kingdom of God. I've been sealed in and hid away in Christ. I've been caught away into heavenly places. That's what the Bible says. Now, if I didn't teach that, then I would be denying the Word of God. So what part of me was caught away into heavenly places, brothers and sisters? You could see this body. You could look and you could see this outer man. You could see this body of flesh. Is it caught away into heavenly places? No, that's the part that is to come. You see, what part of you was caught away and hid in Christ? It was the Spirit. This has to do with the justification and the translation. My spirit has been caught away, hidden in Christ, dwelling in heavenly places. There's no death nor hell that could touch it. It is passed from death unto life. It is more than a conqueror. It is overcome. You say, man, praise God, I could receive that. Man, you're speaking by the Spirit. I say, hallelujah. Amen. Now we are the sons of God. I'm not a son of God in what you see with your eyes. I'm a son of God in that invisible part in the Spirit. But then yet I'm commanded to bring that invisible Spirit quickening into a manifestation that the people of this world could see. Well, what is that? What does that have to do with? If we're talking about this one that we're caught away and hid away with, and then we talk about a manifestation of another. See, this is where we have to differentiate God, body, soul, spirit, and Father, Word, Holy Ghost. The Father's invisible, no man is seen. That's what the Bible says. But then yet we find a controversy. We might say in the Word. It's really not a controversy if you differentiate God. Philip said to the Lord Jesus, he said, when will we see the Father? He said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? But then the Bible says that no man has ever seen the Father. And here's Jesus saying, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you? Which one is correct? Which one is right? I can say that I no longer live, but now it's Christ that lives within me according to Galatians. That's what Paul said. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in this flesh, he said, I live by faith. Is that what he said? He said he lives this life by faith in the Son of God. Is that what he said? Now, thing is, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are you saying? I'm saying by faith, you should hear that it's no longer Brother Rob speaking, but it's Christ speaking through him. By faith, you could say that you see the attributes of an invisible God manifesting within the man. I'm speaking about you. I'm speaking about me. I'm speaking about we as the children of God. So as we differentiate these things and start trying to understand them, when we think of a resurrection, I've already been caught away and hidden with Christ. Yes, there was a red dragon there to devour me as soon as I was birthed, as soon as I was born, but I was hid away. A place prepared for the woman. There was a place in the wilderness prepared for the woman. What is that? That's the grace of God. Having to do with that blood life. In the perspective when we think, you say, well, the blood life has to do with the red dragon. I say, yes, and it was cast out. But the thing is the place prepared for that woman, we say the bride. And a place prepared for that bride, brothers and sisters, was the preparation that God made by the shedding of blood. And there was a dispensation of grace where was made clean and pure that she could enter into the secret chambers with the Lord Jesus Christ and bring forth the sons of God. So we see when we start differentiating these things, we got to make ourselves twain just as the Lord Jesus made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. Which one do you serve? Which one do you worship? Which one do you praise? Which one do you sup with? Which one do you walk with? Which one do you fellowship? Amen. Now the thing is when we get into what they use for a term Trinity, which we cannot find that word in our Bibles. People say, well, I'm Trinity. You say, well, could you define that for me? They say, well, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I do too, but I'm not Trinity. Well, I believe that these three are one. Well, I do too, because that's what the Bible says. But then we have a problem that came through Catholicism, and we say that God is three persons. That's where the error comes in. That's Catholic doctrine. When the dispute in 321 AD at the Nicene Council, they disputed over what they call matter. We say matter is gases, solids, and liquids. And they were disputing and saying in their dispute, they said that the Father and Jesus were one and the same. And we say matter. You see, there's no differentiation that way. They bring it into a person, into natural. And they put a body in every single one of them. They got them all three with three thrones. That's heir to the Scriptures. The Bible says one God, one faith, one baptism. There's one throne. It doesn't teach three thrones, brothers and sisters. Well, the Bible says that Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. And I said, yeah, and it spoke to him as a lamb. So when you get to heaven, are we going to have a lamb there? Speaks to him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Are you going to have a lion laying down there by him? No, it isn't that way. Many of these things, brothers and sisters, are spoke to show the authority and the power. You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. But you are one person. And when I look at you and what I see with my eyes, I see that person. And the word person comes from that personification. You take a spirit, and we would not, in this dimension of grace, we would not see you unless your spirit had been dwelling within a body or had personified itself within a body. Now the thing is I can see what your spirit is doing. You see, this is why the Bible said, from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. I could hear what the heart is speaking by the abundance of what's coming forth out of your mouth. I could recognize what spirit is dwelling within you. If it's a spirit of righteousness and holiness and goodness and love and mercy and compassion, the spirit of Christ, if it's image dwelling within you, I see the manifestation of the sons of God dwelling in you. But then yet, if I see the manifestation of the flesh, if I see hatred and malice and vengeance and envy and strife and backbiting, and I see drunkenness and all the evil things of this world, all the corruption of the flesh, then what spirit am I seeing dwell within you? You say, well, it's the spirit of the flesh. This is why we differentiate. We have the spirit of God that wants to dwell and live within us. We have the spirit of Satan that wants to come and dwell within us. And we have your human spirit that is dwelling there. And if that human spirit is removed from you, there's no life in you. To take the spirit out of the body's dead. That's what the Bible teaches. You understand that? So the thing is we got to understand that these three spirits are wanting to utilize this body, a dispute for the woman. Now, as we differentiate this and we start looking at this and we find that trying to understand this, find out which part is caught away, which part is not yet caught away, and which part is in the daily perspective. Now, when we get into the daily perspective, we talk about sanctification. Now, sanctification is to the soul, and it's the saving of the soul. And whoever you're yielding your members to, you are of. Now, the thing is if we look at the daily part of this, we find that I need to catch myself up on a daily basis in His Word. I need to read His Word, meditate in His Word, and think on these things. I could be daily caught up to the throne of God, fellowshipping with Him, speaking with Him, supping with Him. That's my choice. Or I could go into carnality and human reason and enmity with God, and I could be carnally minded. And I could think on the things of the world, the love of the world, the pride of life, the prestige of this life, and be seeking after the vainglory of this world, then the thing is there's another one that's resurrected. It's not God. But there's another one resurrected, and that's the son of perdition. It's an abomination in God. When you make yourself to be God, when you make yourself as a mere man to be God, it's an abomination in God. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go where I want to go because I'm a man, bless God. I'm going to do my thing. And then you don't submit unto God. To enter into the kingdom of God, you must be as a child. You know, a child doesn't tell his daddy or his mother, say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. How many of you have a six-year-old walk up to you and say, hey, listen, I'm going to go over to the amusement park. They say, no, son, you're not going to go. Hey, I don't care what you say, Dad. I don't care what you say, Mother. I'm going to go anyway. Now, some of you might be ignorant enough to let the little fella do that and laugh about it. But the thing is, that's a sin of rebellion. Witchcraft shortens the number of a child's days. And the thing is that this is the way it is with you and God. You're supposed to be like a little child. You're supposed to submit your sovereignty totally over to Him. Say, here I am, Lord, use me. This is my reasonable service to give you this life as a living sacrifice. This is just my reasonable service, God. You see, brothers and sisters, when you are where you're supposed to be at with God, you don't make decisions. He makes decisions. And this is where carnality comes in, human reasoning. Well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do... We can't do that. We say, here I am, Lord, use me. This is my reasonable service. I'm giving you my life as a living sacrifice. Now let's talk about this catching up. If I'm caught away and hid in with Christ, and this is in the Spirit, it's translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and then I come to the next realm, we say transformation or sanctification. They run in the same. I'm going to transform my mind into the mind of Christ. That thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is where sanctification comes in on a daily basis. I'm going to take and catch myself up on a daily basis and let God live today in my life. If the Bible says to mortify the deeds of the flesh on a daily basis, if I got to be crucified with Christ on a daily basis, that's killing one out every single day. I've got to kill Rob Coons out. He's the enemy of God. You see, many times we want to save our life. And the Bible said if you're seeking to save your life, you'll lose it. But He said to lose your life. I'm supposed to lose this life of Brother Rob Coons with all of his learning, all of his understanding. Paul said all my learning is his dung. All of his religious learning, being in the synagogues on day, all that was dung to him. When he come to the revelation of the Lord and found out who he was in Christ. Amen. Let the Lord's mind come in you. Not the mind of the world. Not the mind of psychology. Not the mind of theologians. Not the mind of education and schooling. That all has to do with carnality and carnal mind. It has to be the mind of the Lord. You see, the mind of the Lord thinks different than the mind of man. And if we're supposed to think in His mind, it thinks different than man's mind. It does good to them that despitefully uses you. Man's mind says, I don't like this guy. Man's mind says, man, he was evil to me, I'll be evil to him. That's the way man's mind works, but that's not God's mind. You know, somebody screams and yells at you, and you scream and yell back at him. That's the mind of man, but the mind of Christ is soft answer turns away wrath. You see, and this is a different mind. And this is the warfare that's happening right here. We say, where is this great warfare? Where is the weapons of this warfare? The Bible said the weapons of this warfare aren't carnal. I'm not supposed to be carrying a big sword and a sheath on my side. You know, I'm not carrying around a big old shield of faith. I don't have a helmet of salvation strapped over this head that you can see, but I have all those things in the spirit because my warfare is against principalities and powers. See, this is what we do. We make the mistakes, brothers and sisters, and make these principalities and powers fairy tales. Oh yeah, there's a devil out there. There's a slewfoot out there. Most of the time you hear about the devil, you hear about some little devil with a little tail and a little point on the end of him carrying a pitchfork around. What kind of ignorance is that? When the devil has a three-piece suit carrying a King James Bible and he's climbed up into the upper echelon or the upper lintels and he's in the churches of America throughout all of the world indoctrinating people into the mind of the beast, amen, that they will not know God nor see good when good comes, amen. There's a mind of religion, brothers and sisters, and there's a mind of God. The mind of religion is enmity with God. The mind of carnality. I know the Bible said true and undefiled religion is such as taking care of the widows and the orphans and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. But we have to differentiate, brothers and sisters. There's a counterfeit. There's Antichrist on the scene. The Bible says that if you do not believe that God is, didn't say was or is going to come. It said if you don't believe that God is, then you're Antichrist. If you don't believe that God is in the flesh, you're Antichrist. That's what our Bible teaches. But see, everybody's teaching that this Antichrist is going to appear someday. Well, we'll go over here and we'll find him coming out of one of these European countries. Or over there in Europe, we're going to find him come up out of Syria. We're going to find this Antichrist come up and he's going to set up rule. But the Bible says there's many Antichrists among us. And the thing is there's people walking in the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, we're going to talk about spirits here for a second. Let's talk about these two spirits. We have a spirit of Christ. We have a spirit of Antichrist. Is that right? Are you with me? Okay, we have a spirit of Christ. We have a spirit of the Antichrist. Now, these two spirits are what? Somebody tell me about these two spirits. You could say one is good and one is evil and say yea and amen. But we can say this for sure, that those spirits are invisible. Okay, let's talk about this great Jesus that we love and we give our life to and that we're serving and we say he is our God. God, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's talk about him. He can't do nothing in the dispensation of grace unless he uses a body. Now, if your great God is so good and so loving and so kind, then why are these little children's throat being sliced and these little women and being raped and ravished and these people starving to death? If your God could do something, he ain't fit to be called a God. But he can't do anything in the dispensation of grace. Because if he brings and does something in the dispensation of grace manifesting that way, then he's going to bring judgment on the whole world. And this is why the blood is on the mercy seat and the blood's on the seat of atonement, that God's not seeing this from the blood. Those little children that are killed in those things are immediately caught away with Christ. They're in much better condition, brothers and sisters. We're serving a loving God. Don't misunderstand me. But let's talk about your Satan that came to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't kill nobody. He can't steal nothing or destroy nothing until he inhabits a body. The Bible said that when you cast a spirit out of a man, it goes and seeking into the dry places, looking for a place of inhabitation. That's what the Bible says. Now the thing is this spirit wants to enter into you. This is why Peter got rebuked. The Lord Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan, you savor the things that be of the flesh. When you savor carnal things and the things of this world, the things of the flesh, this is what the Lord's got to say to you. He says, get you behind me, Satan. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to Satan. He's that one that you've allowed that spirit to come and dwell with you. Now let's talk about this for a second. Now we're talking about two spirits disputing for your body. It has to do with the dispute over for the woman. You say, are you teaching here, Brother Rob, that a Christian could be possessed with the devil? No. You see, you haven't learned to differentiate. You see, people will listen and they think they're hearing something, and the Bible said they think they know something when they know nothing whatsoever at all. And let me tell you like this. The thing is when you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God, you're predestinated in Christ, and you're going to bring forth the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to bring forth that fruit in this world. Not for your salvation. You're going to bring it forth that other people can see salvation and have it. And you're predestined in Christ, not out of Christ, in Christ. Everything that you do is going to produce the fruits of godliness and holiness because you're in Christ. Now the thing is, when the Lord said to Peter, he said, get you behind me, Satan. Can you tell me that Peter was Satan? Or when he told the Lord, he said, "Thou art the Christ," and he said, "This was not revealed by flesh and blood, but it was revealed from heaven." What spirit revealed that to him? A heavenly spirit, a godly spirit, a holy spirit, the spirit of the Father. It revealed it to Peter that this was the Christ, the living Son of God. Okay, then what spirit was it that said that he wouldn't let these things happen? It was the spirit of flesh, you might say. But he said, "Get you behind me, Satan." So here we go, differentiating again between these minds, between these spirits. So the thing is if I as a man, and the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God, and I think on these things, carnal things, natural things, worldly pleasures, the pride of life. What is that mind? It's death. But the Bible said I pass from death unto life. So now I find a warfare in the second heaven. This is in the soul. In the spirit, it's been translated, hid away. In the soul, it's a daily catching up. And whoever I yield my members to through the soul is who I'm of. If I yield my members over to the concupiscence of the flesh, over to the pride of life, to the worldly things, then I am of my father the devil. But if I would yield these members over to Christ and heavenly things and godly things and holy things, because he is the spirit of holiness we just read. And if you have his spirit, there's going to produce the fruit of holiness. And when you are producing the fruits of Christ and of holiness in your life, then you're thinking on those things, you've yielded this member over to the spirit of Christ, and that's who you are of, predestinated in him. So the thing is in this second heaven, in this travail realm, in this warfare, that's where the woman is in travail, that the woman is saved in childbearing. And the thing is we find that in this perspective of physical flesh, we have to go to the feminine gender. In the perspective, we say we're the bride of Christ. So the woman is weaker than the man, according to the scriptures, and the woman has to submit herself unto her own husband. And in the second dimension of physical, we say, and in the soul realm, I say, I'm submitted unto Christ. Amen? I take this physical body, say it's the weaker vessel, and I submit it unto the husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say, "You are my God, you are my Savior," as Sarah said, and Abraham, "Lord. He is my Lord," amen, and I submit unto him, and as I submit unto him, the spirit was caught away into heavenly places, it was hid away with him, caught away into the secret chambers of God, and that seed comes and dwells within me. Now if you go again over to 1 John, it said it's that seed that keepeth you from sin, that's that power of the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and it keepeth us from sin, that we cannot sin. Now the Bible teaches that very clear. What are we speaking about? By the Spirit. Your body is sin. It's numbered in sin, and it's appointed to die, and it's appointed to go to corruption. When I stand before you and say, "I'm born of God," cannot sin, that's that inner quickening spirit. But I've got to yield this woman, we say the bride perspective, unto that, that was cleansed and washed by the Lord Jesus Christ, made pure, that it could go into the secret chambers for the relationship, the knowing. And once it goes in there, then the Son produces forth from that. And if I love this world and the fellowship of this world and the frolic of this world, then I've yielded my members over to Satan, and that relationship is taken with Satan, and I produce the son of perdition, the bastard child without that father in the perspective of our Father in the Spirit. But the Bible says your father is the devil, the father of all lies. So what is it? There's a dispute for your life. There's a dispute for a manifestation of your life. As a man said to me one time, he said, "Man, I'm the one that controls this body. There ain't no spirit moving me. There ain't no spirit doing that. I do what I want. I go where I want to go. I do what I want to do." And I said, "Well, that just proves you're not born of God, because that's not the way a child of God talks. Children of God don't talk that way. We're not our own, brothers and sisters. We're His. We've been bought with a price and purchased, amen, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God, our Savior, our salvation. He is our Lord. He's our King. He's the King of Kings. He is the supreme authority. We submit to Him. And when you're in your own mind doing your own thing and doing your own desires, then you're not of God. You see, there's a dispute for that. Your fleshly mind, your fleshly man, that carnality, that mind of death wants to take and rule and reign. It wants to be religious. It wants to study the scriptures. It wants to use this as a foundation. But it wants to do its own will, its own thing. You see, that's Satan. People think that Satan always comes so evil. But no, he comes very polished. As I said a moment ago, sometimes he comes with a three-piece suit and a King James Bible. How would we know him? Well, the elect of God are not going to be deceived according to the scriptures and the word. It's impossible to deceive God's elect. I cannot be deceived, brothers and sisters. You say, "Well, Brother Rob, I've heard of times that you were deceived." And I said, "Yea and amen, but I don't have a spirit of deception. I don't have a spirit of error." Well, if you don't have a spirit of error, that's what the Bible says. I don't have a spirit of error. What is the difference between one that errs and a spirit of error? You might err today. God will help you. He'll show it to you. You repent. Say, "God, have mercy, help me." But if you continue on in error and continue on in error and continue walking in and continue walking in, then you've been blinded by that spirit and you have a continual spirit of error. There's a difference. There's a total difference. Brothers and sisters, we got to learn that there is a dispute for your life. Satan wants to use your life. He wants to sow strife and discord. He wants to take and use your life. And the thing is the way he will take is he's going to do it by deception. He's going to do just like he did even the garden. Oh, no, but this is pleasing. I mean, this right here, you know, this is good. It's pleasing to the eye. Go ahead and eat of this. You won't die. Now, this is what Satan will be speaking to you like. He said, man, go ahead. God loves you. He died for you. He knows that nobody's perfect. He said, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He sent the fivefold ministry in for perfecting the saints. Why did he send a fivefold ministry in to perfect the saints when he made us perfect from his works at Calvary? The works that he made perfect at Calvary was the work in the Spirit. But then the ministry is sent for the saving of the soul, brothers and sisters, the second heaven where the travail and the warfare is. And you're perfecting the fruits of godliness and holiness there to war against the enemy, the devil. So we find in the second heaven a travail. We find that the body must go through the blood and through the second heaven to enter into the third heaven. But that body goes through the metamorphosis and the change. It's not that same corruptible body. It's not that one sown in iniquity, but it's raised in power. Not the one sown in corruption. It's not that telestial, it's the celestial. There's different bodies. The Bible speaks about different flesh. There's beast flesh, fish flesh, and it goes on talking about celestial. You see, that's the spirit. That's the part that's been changed. This is why we're no longer to know God after the flesh or the image that he appeared in. The image that the Lord Jesus Christ came in was the image of sin, the Bible said. He was not sin. No guile or no sin was found in him, but he came in the image of sin, and he despised that image so much he took it to the cross of Calvary and had it smitten on the cross of Calvary. But from the Catholic Church, they keep that image up on the cross. And they worship the image. That's not what we're supposed to do. We walk in the Spirit. We follow in the Spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And you won't ever see him except by the Spirit. And we see his Spirit filling the body of Christ, the many-membered body, the church. And we see Christ manifesting. Looking for a place to close, we speak about these spirits. Looking for a place of manifestation, they want to use your life. Satan wants to use your life to go about his business to kill, steal, and destroy. God wants to use your life. He wants to fill you with his Spirit that you could be a soul winner. Ye that win souls are wise. The only way souls are won today, brothers and sisters, is by the Spirit of God manifesting in the many-membered body. When people are hungry, manna's not raining out of heaven in this day and hour. Manna comes forth, brothers and sisters, those hidden manna of God dwelling within us. And we bring manna both naturally. We bring, if we have ones that are afflicted or sick or ones that we know, God puts it on our heart and we bring food to them, groceries to them, we help them. Amen? Now we got to be led by the Spirit even in that. The Bible said that even the widows to be accountable unto the church, this is what they need to be doing. They need to be busy about the business of the Lord. They need to even be about the church. Before a widow's even accountable, the church is accountable to them. But we got beggars in this day and hour. The Bible said, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. But then yet when I look out into the realms of the church world, I see nothing but beggars. Preachers turn into beggars. The children, they call themselves Christians, call themselves beggars. Leaning on the compassion of God and the Christian people. Help me, help me, help me. And they're never helping themselves. The Bible said you don't work, you don't eat. You see, we got to understand what Christianity is. It's been defiled. The word Christian has been so defiled. Christians aren't defiled. They got the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of God. Christians aren't defiled, brothers and sisters. The name of Christianity has been defiled. Not everybody that says they're a Christian is a Christian. Not everybody that says they said this sinner's prayer is a Christian. If it was so easy to just say, okay, get them into the altars, and they fall down on their knees and they cry and they weep before the Lord and they say, oh, Jesus, come into my heart. I confess with my mouth, God, I know that I'm a sinner. But the Bible says a man's heart's continually evil and wicked. He doesn't even know his own heart. How can he cry forth from his heart when he doesn't know his own heart? And his heart's deceitful. That's why you don't see many of these people that hit these altars abstain to the end or endure to the end. The Bible said, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. This is what we're talking about this morning, is we need to differentiate and look and see what's manifesting in our life. Do you see the fruit of God in your life, the fruit of Christ, or the power of salvation in you? Or do you see the love and the cares of the world in your life? Examine yourself and just see if you be in the faith. Oh, but I prayed. Oh, I did this. I spoke in tongues. I was in this service. I had my hands lifted up and the power of God fell on me. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. You don't have to be justified in God to speak in tongues. You don't have to be justified in God to dance in the Spirit. You don't have to be justified in God for the gifts. The gifts are without, and the callings are without repentance. You can't have the Spirit of God lest you repent, but the gifts of God come without repentance. What are those gifts? Well, we could say faith. Man, I see this man's got faith. Well, it's without repentance. Man, I heard him speak in tongues. It's without repentance. I seen him work in discernment. I seen a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom in him. Comes without repentance. You see, brothers and sisters, that doesn't justify a man of God. You know, the thing is we got to say, what is made known in us, child of God? Obedience. I like the message Brother Sergio said. You know, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. If there's sacrifice and sacrifice and all these things in your life, and it's just continually, on the day of adversity, consider your ways. We got to take that line upon line. If there was ever a man that had adversity in his life, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh man, I mean, look at all the trouble around about him. The people are taking up rocks to stone him. They're searching after him, this and that. Boy, he should have considered his ways. No, he considered your ways, and he was taking your ways before the people to be crucified and done away with. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a difference in being persecuted for Christ's sake, and there's a difference in the chastening of the Lord and your wounds stinking because of your foolishness. It's two different spirits to make these things happen. This is why we have to learn to find the mind of God. There's so many times people are going through things saying, oh, it's because I'm a Christian. No, it's because you're ignorant and you're of the devil. You say, well, how can I tell? You'll know. You say, well, man, you can't talk to a child of God that way. Let me tell you, the Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves that the devil was there also. Let's quit making the devil into some kind of thing out here someday going to come or this and that. He's ever present, brothers and sisters, every day. You come to church by yourself and you say, I'm a son of God, the devil's there with you. He'll be talking to you in that mind. He'll be trying to put doubt and unbelief in you. He's the accuser of the brethren. The Lord will speak to you by faith in the Spirit. And you say, well, brother, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm going to do. And you say, oh man, but I can't do that. I don't have the money. I don't have the finances. I don't have the way. I don't have the means. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the understanding. I can't do that. And the Bible said that you can do all things in Christ. And the Lord spoke it by the Spirit, but the accuser came there and said, oh, you can't, oh, you can't, oh, you can't. The Lord speaks to a preacher today and says, hey, I want you to do this. The first thing he does, he pulls out his checkbook and he starts saying, well, let's see how much money I got. Let's talk about the children of Israel. Here they are over there in bondage in Egypt. Lord said, Moses, I want you to go over there and get them people out of there. So you know what Moses did? He got on his radio phone. He made a phone call. And he said, hey, he said, I need a train load of material brought out there in the wilderness. He said, I got to build a super Walmart. I mean, 10 of them. We got 3 million people coming out here. And I want a super Walmart out there. And he said, get the well diggers out there, man. We got to dig a deep well there because them people right there need a lot of water. How many of you give 3 million people a drink of water? Think about it, brothers and sisters. And right before they got down to the Red Sea, man, that crane set that big last thing right there, man. That crane built that big bridge across there. And man, the engineers got all out of the way. And here he comes with all the people. And they went right across. And then they had the demolition team out there. As soon as that last person come across that bridge, and Moses said, all right. Then the demolition team pushed the button and blew the bridge up. And all them Egyptians drowned out there. I'm just talking carnal to you. Can't you see the carnal mind? But you see, what did he do? He was obedient unto God. But even when the Lord spoke to him, he said, oh, but I don't have good speech. You know, I'm not eloquent in my speech and things like that. God gave him a helper. But he went. See, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We've got to find out what kind of mind is in us. But God, it's impossible. What does he say? He says, but I'm a God that makes the impossible things possible. Oh, but God, I'm weak. But I'm a God that says to the weak, let them say that they are strong. You understand? So brothers and sisters, we got to learn to walk in the mind of God. But there's always that carnal mind there saying, well, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. He's the liar. So we got to learn to differentiate what is speaking in our head. What makes you want to do the things that you do? So many times, through carnality and the mind of carnality, it'll speak and it would appear to be God. Well, the devil's not going to tell me to go over to this church and preach. Sure he will. Because he knows God didn't prepare a way for you over there. And he knows the people aren't going to receive you over there. He knows that the people are locked up in carnality and human reasoning and false doctrine. Yeah, go over there and preach. I don't want to go preach nowhere unless God makes a way. And I know that the word will be received. The devil could use your life up and you think you're about the Father's men. But the Bible said they're like men running and beating at the air. They're accomplishing nothing. Brother Pike said to me, he goes, Brother Rob, do you want to just go preach? Or do you want to go where God prepared the way? And sometimes we're not looking to see if God made the way or prepared the way. There's a door or an opportunity that opens up and says, go preach, and you go preach. You say, man, I'm sin of God. Nah, you was just following after the carnal mind, following after the serpent, after Satan, and the devil's got you so busy that you can't do nothing for God. Let me tell you about preachers. They're underneath deacon boards. You show me Bible where the ministers are supposed to be under the subjection of a deacon board. Find me one scripture. This man right here said he was going for a master's degree of theology. I'd like for somebody to show me where the pastor and the ministers of the church are underneath the deacon board. Somebody show me that and show me a church that isn't doing that. You know why they're doing that? Get ready. This is going to offend you. Because they're of the devil, their father the devil. The ministers aren't led by God. The Bible said in the end time they're hirelings. You know why they're hirelings? Because it's a job. I can't say that. I'll get fired. I can't say that. It'll offend them. I can't do that. Well, then you need to shut your mouth all the way. You need to raise up and be as bold as a lion. That's why Brother Rob's not liked out there in the realms of the organized church. Because I preach against their big business. They put them on a salary. Tell me where that in the Bible we're supposed to do that. Tell me that. Show me that in the scriptures. You see, they're hirelings. That's what the Bible says. They won't preach God's word because they're afraid to preach God's word. Sure got quiet in here. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's right. A form of godliness, but denying the power. That's what the Bible says. That sounds offensive. Well, I know this, brothers and sisters. There's little babies that are caught up in those things and don't understand the scriptures and the word. But could all of the church world be wrong? Why would you come against the whole church world? Well, let's go back and look at in history. The Bible does say that it's a small flock, few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Y'all hear that in the Word of God? See it in the Scriptures? Could they all be wrong? Well, let me tell you, there is grace of God, brothers and sisters, and the grace of God will help them and lead them out. I used to be in that kind of work, and God had to lead me out. Because why? Because God loved me, and God drawed me out of those things. He brought me out of those things because I had the Spirit of God. And He'll lead you into all truth. Is everybody that's under that kind of thing, are they lost on their way to hell? No, I don't believe so. But they're under doctrines of devils. And if they got eyes to see, they'll come out of those things. And they'll come out of it. Amen? There was many things that I was involved in teaching, but God helped me and led me out of it. We got to stay with the Word, brothers and sisters. That's what matters. I went to a preacher about Jesus' name baptism, a Trinity preacher over in Missouri. And I sat down in the Scriptures and reasoned with him and talked about it. And he said, "Brother, I see exactly what you're saying. And I see that it's the Word of God." But he said, "I can't do that." He said, "If I do that, I'll lose my church." The only thing he's going to have is those people of that church chewing on him in hell and devouring him. You do not deny God's word to walk with people. Brothers and sisters, we're in a day and hour of deception. And there's many people that are deceived and they're blinded by carnality and human reasoning and religious ramblings. And we got to understand that the spirit of the Antichrist came to blind you, to steal and destroy and to kill. And we've got to recognize that spirit. Why do we think it's always just moving over there and over there? Like I said, if Brother Rob came here by himself this morning, the devil was here also. When Jesus went up on the Mount of Temptation, tell me the devil wasn't there. Now he's God. So what would make me think any different? He's always going to be there accusing the mind. The Lord say, "Brother, go do this." Well, you can't do that. They're not going to receive of you. You don't do this. You don't do that. Who's telling me that? Man, you're schizophrenic, preacher. Sounds like you got too many voices in your mind. Well, the Bible says to cast down every thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself up before the knowledge of God. So if the God's telling me to cast down a thought, there must be some other thought other than His. He don't want me to cast down His thought. I remember the Lord spoke to me one time. Rebuked me for casting down a thought. He said, "Don't cast down my thoughts." So I thought, well, surely God don't do that. I was in that sissified religious mind. Oh, but God's love. He loves everybody. The Bible said He's angry with the wicked and pursuing them off the face of the earth. And He said that the ministers of God are the avengers of God. And He says, "Woe unto you that holds the sword back from blood." What are you going to do with that? Oh, but God's mercy. God is love. Yeah, He is mercy and love. He loved you so much He'd give His life on the cross of Calvary. But I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters. He's also an avenger. He also chastens them that He loves. So we got to find the mind of God and the mind of revelation in no matter what we're doing. We got to look to differentiate the thoughts. Who's speaking? Who's thinking? Who's talking? Why am I doing what I do? Have I considered myself? Have I examined myself? You know, if we would examine ourselves or judge ourselves, then we won't be judged according to the Scriptures. But so oftentimes we don't want to do that. We justify everything that we do. We want to justify it. We want to talk about the mercies and the love of God. We need to be talking about the power of God. We're overcomers in Christ. There's nothing that could be laid to my charge. And that reason it's that way is because of one thing. I've been filled with His Spirit, been filled with His power, and I could overcome the things of this world because His Spirit is greater. Greater is He that is within me. me than he that's in this world. And the one that's in this world is the God of this world. It's the Antichrist. And greater is this God. And I got to take authority over him. We don't need to be afraid to preach God's word. We need to start looking and quit looking through this little sissified religious at everything and make everything okay. God's not happy with this world. We are not of this world. This world's not God's. God of this world is Satan. This is his world. This is his domain. You understand that? Now there's going to be a day that he's taken away from this world, and the Lord Jesus Christ will set up a rule on this world, and he'll rule out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years on this world. It'll come back upright. It won't be tilted on its axis, and it'll be a beautiful place for that 1,000 years. Lion laying down by the lamb. Yes, but that's all for the Jew. You see, we are dwelling in another kingdom. We're not of the natural seed. We're not God's elect by natural seed that come through the bloodlines. We are elect of God by the spirit seed. Amen. Jesus didn't come to bring a natural seed. He came to bring a spirit seed. There was a water seed, a blood seed, and a spirit seed. And we're of the spirit seed. The water seed produces things out here, vegetation, things of natural. And the earth was destroyed by water. He wasn't happy with that covenant. Then there was a blood covenant that came along and by blood seed. But even though Jesus was representing the spirit seed, he didn't come by the blood seed of man. And he came and took that image to the cross of Calvary, and it was a great bloodbath. The world was flooded with water. The Lord Jesus Christ took that image of the sin nature, that beastly image, to the cross of Calvary. The thorns were jammed over his head. The spears thrashed in his side and his back, plowed like a field, and that was the bloodbath. That was the finishing of that blood life. Water, blood, and now we're in spirit life. He said it was expedient. I go back to the Father to send back the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he did that. That was because we're part of that spirit covenant. He sent that spirit back, the same spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus is dwelling within us. And that spirit that is dwelling within us, brothers and sisters, is the spirit that cries, Abba, Father. That is the spirit that makes us the children and the sons of God. It is the spirit of power. Amen. This is what we are in him. And if you've received that spirit, then you've received his power. When you've received his power, the power to be the sons of God, to walk beyond reproach and to walk, brothers and sisters, in the spirit of God. Amen. That's what it's all about. Are you walking in the spirit of God? Are you walking in the truth, or do you have religious blinders on? Are you blinded by the things of the religious world? You see, with Satan's climbing up into the upper lintels, what is that? That's not climbing up into the dope addicts places and the bars of this world. Those are his anyway. He don't have to climb up into those things. He's climbing up into what you call organized religion. He climbs up into those things to deceive the very elect if it were possible, but he cannot. Amen. Aren't you thankful to have God's spirit that you cannot be deceived? Let's stand together and give the Lord a hand. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to have a hunger for the Word of God when we come to church. We need to come with a hunger and just desire to learn and to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. So oftentimes we're so much involved in these religious churches and things that, you know, we give the preacher 10 minutes. We give him 15 minutes. It isn't that way. When you get into the mind of God and the mind of revelation, you should be sitting in a presence of the Lord with a drawing and a hunger and a thirst after his word and want to be filled. You got to train yourself into that and want to really draw from the things of God. I know some of us, naturally speaking, we can get to the table, boy, and we're going to wear it out until it's all gone. And we're going to stay there and eat it up. You know, but when you go to the table and you sit down and you pick a little bit of this and pick a little bit and push it away, it's either that you're full on something else or there's something wrong with your appetite. You should have the desire to eat and eat good. Amen. And when we come to the house of God, we should not come in to hear what we want to hear, but we should come with a hunger after his word and be drawing for his word and say, God, help me, teach me, lead me, and guide me. Let me tell you something. I'm growing in the grace of knowledge on a daily basis. I'm still learning and growing and pressing my way into the things of God. There was many things that God, as he unveiled them to me and showed me, that I had to reject. Things that I walked in maybe yesterday, I can't walk in today because God exposed those things. Sin cannot be imputed unless there's a knowledge of sin. And by the preaching of the word and exposing of the kingdom of Satan, there's things being exposed in our lives that makes us accountable. Some of the things I say here, those people aren't accountable to because they've never seen them. But who are you in Christ when he opens your eyes of understanding that you see those things, then you're accountable to those things. Amen. All right, let's sing a song or two. God will lead them and guide them by his Spirit that they can walk in the ways that are pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. And that his blessings will be all around them in everything that they do and everything that they touch. Amen. God's got his hand on them. Lead them by his Spirit. Just pray that they could hear the still small voice of God as it leads them and guides them as they start out this journey of life. Pray that God will keep his hand upon them and protection upon them, and that everything they do and everything they touch will be blessed, and God add an increase. Amen. Y'all love him? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing All Praise Him one more time.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.